Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My name is Paul. I'm currently serving full-time in Fort Collins, Colorado. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we begin, I just had a quick question. Who is here for the first time? Why don't you stand up if you're here for the first time? Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, stay standing. Another question. Who has been tired today? Raise your hand. Or stand up. If you've been tired today, stand up. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, good. Okay, so. Amen. I'm in the same boat. So this is my first time speaking, and I'm also tired. So I would like to ask something of you all. In a very open way, I would just like to ask you, if you get tired, that's okay. But if you get tired, just pray. Pray for the person sitting next to you, and pray for the brother speaking the message. Because that really helps. It really helps. In my experience, when I get tired, I just pray for the person speaking. And you enter in, and you pray for the one next to you, and they enter in. Anyways, it's a real salvation, a real way to have your entire being involved in the message. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this line is on fruit bearing, and I would just like to read to you the overall theme of the line is living a fruit bearing life. So when I was getting into this, I was really touched. This is living a fruit bearing life. This is not doing. This is not performing. This is living a fruit bearing life. How about we all together read the title of this message? Oh, it's on page 43 in case you don't have it pulled up. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Bearing fruit through a normal living of the gospel. Amen. So one thing I want you to underline is the word normal. Yeah. And encircle the word living. I was just, again, in preparing, I was just really impressed. This is normal. What we're going to see today is something that's normal. And I appreciate all the brothers who have been speaking this week have been using the definitions of words. You know, words have a lot of meaning, and they're not chosen arbitrarily, right? They're chosen for a very specific purpose. So this word normal, I'm going to give kind of actually multiple definitions throughout this speaking. But just to begin, the first one I'd like to give is to say what it's not. But it helps to know what something is to have a comparison for what it's not. Right. So the first thing is we have certain thoughts when we think about normal. But I would like to say that normal is different than typical. Right? We have typical and we have normal. These are two separate words. So let me give a little illustration because they sound similar. You all are college students. And so there is a typical college student life, which some of you may live, and that's okay. And the typical college student life is something like this. You wake up late, you barely make it to class, you don't really do your homework as you should, and you kind of have a test and you just kind of cram for it, and you stay up late doing things you probably shouldn't do. That's a typical college student. But what's a normal college student? A normal college student is someone who gets up at the same time every day, has a morning time with the Lord, praise the Lord! And they go to class, they study, they do their homework before class, right? That's normal. So you begin to see this difference between typical and normal. So today we're not talking about typical. We're talking about normal. So let's just get right into it. Roman number 1, I'll read it to you. Fruit bearing is the normal living of the branches of the vine. So if someone has their Bible, maybe they can stand up and read John 15, verse 5. The first one who's got it is. Or if you know it by heart, that works too. But if you have your Bible, it's good to read the word. Amen.
I am the vine, you are the branches.
Amen.
He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So I appreciate the brothers this week. Let me ask you something. In this verse, what are you? Branches. Okay. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you agree with the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you amen the Word of God?
Amen.
Okay, so say with me, I am a branch.
Amen.
You're a branch. It's clear. You know. What does a branch do? A branch abides.
Amen.
What else does a branch do? It bears much fruit. I was so impressed to see that as we bear fruit, not because we do something, not because we try, but because we bear fruit because we are a branch. That's what the branch does. That's the life of the branch. I was impressed. Last summer, I had the experience. I got to go up to Canada. Praise the Lord for Canada. And I got to go salmon fishing. And salmon fishing is a very unique type of fishing because the fish itself is very unique. I don't know much about biology. I know more about fishing. But anyways, so in fishing, when you go for salmon, what they do is they're born in rivers, and they swim all the way out to the ocean. And they live in the ocean, and then they get huge. I mean, that's what they do. They just get big. And then they come back into the same rivers. They go exactly to where they were born. They lay their eggs, and they die. And it is quite a process. It's actually pretty amazing. The salmon's life, the purpose of their life, is just to bear fruit. That's all they do. They have no other purpose, right? And you know what? They don't go to salmon school. They're not taught. They're not born with the GPS. They don't know. I mean, you know, how do they know which? I mean, anyways, the saints from Canada, they can testify to this. If you go to the western part of this country or in Canada and you look at all those tributaries, all that, there is tons of water. How do you think a salmon knows where it's going? How does it know? It knows because it has the right life. It has the life to know where to go to reproduce, to bear fruit. And so I'll tell you one thing. You are better than salmon. Because you're a branch. Praise the Lord. And branches, they bear fruit. So I just want to impress you. This thought that I think it was Jake who shared, right? We thought, I can't bear fruit.
Yeah.
That is not true. That's not what the Word of God says.
Right.
And we believe the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word says you're a branch and you can bear fruit.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so I was just touching this bearing this fruit. That this is a living and this is normal. And bearing fruit is not, it's not an event merely. And it's not merely a work. It's not something that you do on the weekends or something you do when you come to the college training. It's not a thing. It's not an activity, but it's a living.
Amen.
And it's a living because it's based on a life. And so we'll go to Rome. How about we have everyone read Roman numeral 2. We need to take the Lord as our example of the life of the gospel. Amen. So the Lord, in letter A, it says, the Lord simply lived the life of the gospel wherever he went. The gospel was his living. So I was just touched in Matthew 9. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Everywhere the Lord went, he just spoke and he healed, right? So it doesn't matter. He didn't say, okay, if I come to Champaign, I'll preach the gospel, but when I go home, I'm done. No, that's not what he said, right? Everywhere he went, he spoke. And how about we read B all together? We all need to see what the proper, normal gospel is. It is that which the Lord Jesus carried out. He spent time to gain one man and spent some more time to gain one woman. He reaped. Amen. 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 Okay, so I have to go through this kind of quickly because I'm realizing I'm running out of time. Anyways, if you're familiar with John chapter 4, you know that the Lord spoke to a particular woman. But I'd like to give you some details that you might have missed in your reading of John chapter 4. The first detail is that the Lord was in Judea. And he left Judea, and he was going to Galilee. So Judea is like, say, down here. And Galilee is up here. Samaria is somewhere in the middle. Okay? So I was looking at a map, and I was trying to figure this out. The Lord... And this, it's kind of hard to say exactly because it's a long time ago. But somewhere around these lines, the Lord journeyed about between 40 to 60 miles. Okay, that's how long, and he, you know, they didn't have cars, so he walked, right? So he walked 40 to 60 miles. I've never walked 40 to 60 miles. I don't think I could walk that far, to be honest. Anyway, so the Lord journeyed, and when the Jews would go from Judea to Samaria, to Galilee, they would, I'm just going to show you this. They would, so here's Judea, here's Galilee, here's Samaria. They would go like this. Yeah. Because Samaria is a place that they did not associate with. Because Samaria was, they were half Jewish and half Gentile. So in the Jews' mind, there's just a no bueno. They're not doing it. They don't go. They avoid the whole region. I mean, it takes a lot longer to go. It takes a lot longer to go that way.
Right.
But the Lord, he didn't care. He went straight through. He went straight there, right? Because the Lord is not, he doesn't please man, right? So first thing, the Lord goes to Samaria, and then I was just impressed with this detail. In verse 6 and 7 it says, "And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from the journey, sat by the well." It was about the sixth hour. Okay, so he was tired, obviously, because he walked somewhere between 40 to 60 miles, which we all would be tired. But he sat by the well. And then it says, "There came a woman to Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me something to drink.'" Okay, so think about this. The Lord goes on this journey, and he sits at this well. He got there first. The Lord waited for this woman. He didn't let her get there and then kind of show up at the nick of time. He was there waiting. Do you ever consider the triune God as manifested in the flesh, waited for someone at a well? And I was just impressed. The Lord just waited. And not just any person, but a Samaritan woman. Okay, so then in verses 10 through 14, we see, particularly the Lord begins to converse with her and ask her some questions. And he basically presents to her, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of living water springing up into eternal life." This is something the Lord just presents himself to her. So what does she do? She responds. She's like, "I want this water.
Yeah.
You know, give me this water. I don't have to come here anymore if I get this water," which is, you know, a very good reaction. So then the Lord's very wise. What does he say? He says, "Go call your husband."
Yeah.
Right? And for those of you who know the story, or don't know the story, this woman had five husbands. And so the Lord says, "Call your husband." And then she says, "I don't have a husband." And he's like, "Yeah, that's true, because you have five husbands, and the one you're living with is not your husband, right?" But I was impressed with this. And the Lord's care for this woman. If you read it in a carefully, the Lord actually confessed her sins for her. He said, "You have five husbands, and the one you're living with is not your husband." But actually, if you read it, I mean, the woman wasn't offended, right? She said, "You're right." She said, "I perceive you're a prophet," right? She didn't say no, or she didn't.
Right.
Actually, what she did was she changed the subject, right? And okay, I just appreciate the brother speaking, even Preston this morning, about confessing our sins. When the Lord touches us and shines on us, our tendency, like this woman, is to change the subject, right? "Oh, well, yeah." Mm-hmm. You change the subject, you do something else. But the Lord, you know, he used her subject change to present himself as the Spirit. Anyway, so to fast forward, the Lord began to, he eventually presented her and said, she said, "I've heard of the Messiah." And he said, "I am he," right? The Lord presents himself
right.
as the Savior, and then he leads her to drink of the living water. And so I was impressed. I go through all that detail to show you in point B, the Lord spent time. He didn't do something miraculous or do something spectacular. He spent the time to converse with her and to talk to her. It's just a pattern. He gained one woman. And to speak a little more on this, I was so impressed. I don't know about you all, but if I'm on my campus or on the gospel, I know I have friends. If I knew someone who had five husbands and the person they're living with was not their husband, I wouldn't think of them as an ideal gospel candidate, right? Not, I mean, that's just not our thought, right? We wouldn't think of them as a good candidate, and nor will we walk 40 miles to go to go wait for them, right? And nor would we converse them for such a long period of time. So I'm impressed with the Lord's living. It's very normal. This is what he was going to Judea, and on the way he stopped, right? Let's read C and D together.
Amen. We should say the Lord Jesus as our example.
Amen. Amen.
Wherever we are,
the gospel is with us. Amen. It is our life. Amen.
Without the living of the gospel, the church life is empty. We must all learn the example of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, letter E, it says, we need to learn the example of the Lord Jesus and preaching the gospel in a spontaneous way. I was just considering this. The Lord, wherever He went, He spoke. He didn't necessarily have a gospel message prepared. He just spoke, and His living was the gospel. In fact, if you read through the Gospels, you'll realize more times that He talks to people, it's one-on-one, and it's a very spontaneous. It's not a. I mean, it's funny. We all remember the times He fed the 5,000 and when He fed the 4,000. That's kind of the memorable stuff. But that only happened like twice. The vast majority of the gospel, He's talking to people, one-on-one, right? He was very spontaneous in His gospel preaching because it was His living. And so, I'll read these next two points to you all. Number one, we should not say that this is not the right place, the right time, or the right person for the gospel. Every place is the right place, every time is the right time, and every person is the right person. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, be ready in season and out of season. Okay, what does that mean, be ready? That means to be urgent. So the illustration I appreciate in the ministry is like, it's like instant coffee. Instant coffee is ready, right? I mean, you have hot water, you pour it in, and boom, you got coffee. For those of us who drink coffee, not instant coffee, which is I definitely do not drink instant coffee. It takes a while. I mean, it takes some preparation. And so, both in preparation for the gospel and in not preparation for the gospel, we need to be ready, right? We need to be ready. And so, as we follow the Lord and live by His life, there's just a readiness in your spirit. I was just touched by all the testimonies of the gospel. The saints had a feeling within to go speak, and they spoke. I have to share a quick definition, and then we're gonna have a pop up, and then Dan's gonna speak. Okay, so this is very interesting. So I've been studying what the word normal means, and I've been trying to figure it out, and it's kind of complicated because it comes from Latin, and I took Latin in high school. I took 1 year, but that was like a long time ago, so I don't remember anything. But I was just touched. The Latin normal comes from the Latin word norma. Okay? And it also comes from the Latin word normalis. Okay, so norma, this is norma. And does anyone know what this is? Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay. It's a carpenter square, that's what it's called. And so the word norma means this. This is norma. Okay? Normalis is to make something according to a carpenter square. That's what normalis means. So then the normal definition for normal that we currently have in the dictionary is conforming to a type, standard, or regular pattern. So, if we want to be normal in our living the life of the gospel, we simply follow. We follow the pattern set before us. Okay, I'll give you a quick example. I'm going to draw an L. Okay, that's typical. For sure. And I also have terrible handwriting, so there's that. You want to see normal? This is normal. Oops. That's normal. See? It's cool, but it's not that impressive. I mean, it's just a right angle, right? But that's what's impressive to me. It's not miraculous. It's just normal, right? So if we want to live the normal life of the gospel, guess what? You have His life and His nature. The one who is normal lives inside of you. We live according to the pattern He set before us in the Gospels. This is the normal life of the Gospel, of the normal living of the Gospel. And a side note, this is a carpenter square. You know, the Lord Himself was a carpenter, right? That was His profession. So anyway, I'm just impressed. To live a normal life of the Gospel, we need to follow the pattern. Live as the Lord lived in His Gospel living. And so to cover point E, we're going to have a quick pop-up. Maybe Kaylin can pop up real quick. Kaylin's going to share about the right place, the right time, and the right person.
Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. So this is my fourth college training, and every college training, the brothers have been really diligent to speak about the matter of bearing fruit, preaching the gospel. This line is very important. But last summer, I don't know, I was more struck by it for some reason than I think I had before. And I was really before the Lord, Lord, I don't have a normal life of preaching the gospel. This is not my living. And I had the realization, you know, the last and first time I had ever prayed with someone, received the Lord, I was 7 years old, and it was my best friend. And I was sitting there at 21, and I realized that 7 years twice had gone by since I had led anybody to receive the Lord. And I'm sitting there acting like I love the Lord, and I flow out to people, and this is my life, yet there was no manifestation in that as far as fruit bearing. And the week after that, I was going to be going back to my hometown to see all my old high school friends and be visiting with these people in my life. And I was before the Lord desperately, Lord, make opportunities that I can redeem the time with those in my life that I didn't take for a long time. Lord, make the way, give me the opportunities, and then you be the words. And even, it was on Ephesians, this last college training, and my verse that I would pray read before I go to see my friends was Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner man. And I would just pray read this verse. And so that week, actually, two of my friends prayed to receive the Lord with me. And I was so overjoyed and just flowing what I enjoyed, and the Lord was just with me. And it set in motion something for my whole senior year of college. So in the last, actually, I want to read point E, as he said again, we need to learn to take the example of the Lord Jesus. He was just spontaneous, and it was who He touched in His day-to-day. So in the last year, 19 and a half people have prayed with me to receive the Lord. And my half is actually here with me. Kate, stand up, Kate. So Kate is one of my coworkers. We both serve at Outback Steakhouse. And because I was just trying to practice to speak whenever there are opportunities in my day-to-day, I was just burdened for my friend. I preached the gospel to her and prayed with her. Later I found out she was saved, so she's my half. But because I was practicing this living, it brought us into fellowship, and we're both here at the college train now. So, yeah, amen. So, you know, the Lord did that. I wanted to get into point two, the three parts. Every place is the right place, every time is the right time, and every person is the right person. So I just want to give three testimonies for each of those, of some of these people. So, place. So one of these people was another one of my coworkers. We were at Outback in the middle of a busy shift, and she, for the last few weeks, had been opening things to me, feeling like she could come to me with things, and she just came to me and just started pouring out to me, and it was very personal, and I was like, maybe we should go somewhere private really quick. So we went to the back of the restaurant into a broom closet, and she just started sharing with me, and I just felt inwardly a sense to share with her about actually having a person, life as a person. So I just started preaching the gospel to her, and I asked her if she wanted to pray with me to receive Christ's life. She said, okay, so we just prayed. So I really realized any place, including a broom closet, you can pray with someone to receive the Lord. And the second thing is time. So one of my friends, I have been praying for her for years, through college, opportunities to just speak things, never receptive, never really listen, sometimes we even get annoyed. So I kind of given up on her. So this December, every break, I go to see my friends for a week in my hometown. So I was doing it again this December. And three of my friends had already prayed to receive the Lord with me this last December. So as I was driving to Emily's house, I told the Lord, well, I can relax a little now. I know Emily's not open. Well, I can kind of take a break. I know she's not open. And I got to her house, and we started catching up, and she started opening some things to me. And she just got real serious with me, and she was like, you know, what turned your life around for you again? And I was like, oh, Lord. So I just started sharing with her a little bit and, you know, touching. And the next thing you know, that was kind of speaking the gospel a little bit to her. And she interrupted me. And she was just like, yeah, no, you've spoken to me about some of this before. But what is it? And I was like, I was so taken aback by that. I was like, what is it? And I was like, you mean like receiving the Lord? And she was like, yeah, what is it? And I was like, well, I mean, do you want to pray to receive the Lord right now? She was like, yeah, I mean, okay, yeah. And just closed her eyes and like moved closer to me. And I was just like, oh, Lord. And so I prayed with her. And afterwards, you know, of all these ones that I've had these experiences with, they were all one by one. She is one of the only ones that cried. And I just realized the Lord knows men's heart, and the Lord knows the timing. We don't know. So that really touched me every time and any time. You know, just be before the Lord. And the third thing is person. So I had an internship. I'm a criminal justice student, and I was doing an internship with juvenile probation's work. And I was with one of my supervisors, and we were going over paperwork and a caseload. And he did the classic after college plans. And I just said, well, I'm considering maybe going to a Bible school after I graduate. And the next thing I know, this 35, 40-year-old man just starts pouring his entire history in relation to Roman Catholicism and all of the hurt and damage and frustration, and it doesn't make sense to me, and I don't understand all the rules, and it just never was real. And I'm just sitting there, and luckily I had in my office had Morning Revival not that long ago, and inwardly, I mean, this is a man significantly older than me, and I just said, oh Lord, here you go. And so, and I just had a sense to talk to him about the two trees, the tree of knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life. And now we can all be religious, but we need Christ as life. So I started just speaking to him a little bit, and he was really open. And I asked him if he had ever prayed to receive the Lord, be regenerated. And he was like, no, I don't think so. And so I prayed with my supervisor in my office. So I realized that my concepts about the right person were wrong as well. It's any person. You know, you just need to be before the Lord. And real quick in closing, the Lord taught me two things in all of these experiences. I do believe what he's saying. It's not miraculous. So the number 19, I don't know that will happen again in my life, but the Lord taught me a lot with these experiences. I don't think it was that suddenly, because I changed and was touched, there were suddenly this number of people in my life. I realized that the Lord gave me the goggles, the lens, to see that they were there the whole time. Amen. I'm sure you've all had the experience. We've talked this week. We're different. There's something different about them. People are vulnerable with us. They open up their hurts, the things they're going through. So suddenly I saw through high school and college all those times someone was there pouring their heart out to me and just letting me into their situation and opening up to me. They weren't just bonding times. Those were opportunities to speak the gospel. So just be encouraged. Just practice to look for the opportunities. They're there. And the second thing was, I discovered I am a terrible gospel preacher. I am absolutely awful. I am not eloquent. I stumble over my words. I stutter. I talk too fast. I jump from train to train. You can tell they're not really following me that well. I incorrectly quote the verses and the points. But I've come to find that when I'm just trying to talk, just share something of knowledge or something with someone, I've had some not successful experiences too. There's just, you don't sense a flow, and they're not receptive. It doesn't matter how well I put it. But then another time where I'm just all over the place and I'm just trying to be before the Lord and practice, they're just, you just get the sense that there's a flow and they're so open. And I realized it was nothing I was doing, had nothing to do with me. So just be encouraged. Doesn't matter if you're good at speaking to people, if you're quiet, if you're outgoing, the Lord's the one speaking. So we just need to take the Lord Jesus as our example. Amen. And be interested in imparting life to all the people in our life. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Wasn't that so encouraging?
Amen.
Actually, some of you might be thinking, well, I was thinking, like, wow, like, this, can this ever happen with me? You know? And you might think, there's no way this can happen. But I just appreciate Kaylin's testimony that this is normal, you know? This is not miraculous, this is normal, because Kaylin said it herself, most of these cases, she wasn't ready, right? It was out of season. But what happened was, she got touched at the college training last year on the book of Ephesians, and she prayed,
prayed and pre-read Ephesians 3:16 and was enjoying the Lord. And through her enjoyment of the Lord, this fruit-bearing life within her responded. And she was able to have these situations where she was able to meet these people, and spontaneously life flowed out. So we need to realize that this is normal. This is very normal. And you know, don't be discouraged if this has never happened to you. We're here to practice. We're here to endeavor. So, amen. Okay, so how about we read Roman numeral 3 together? We should not expect a great revival, but bear fruit in a normal way. I have a lot of feeling in this point, okay? We should not expect a great revival, but bear fruit in a normal way, okay? You know, when we think, okay, sometimes when I think of preaching the gospel, I think of something where like, we go out to the campuses and we're going to gospelize this entire campus, you know, and we think of people like maybe Billy Graham, you know. Billy Graham, through several decades, actually, he spoke to so many people and he preached the gospel. And actually, I looked this up. Through all of his live audience messages, through this radio broadcast, through these TV programs, he was actually able to reach a total of 2.2 billion people. Okay, Billy Graham, 2.2 billion people. Okay, and another example is back in about a century ago, in 1904, there was something called the Great Welsh Revival, and during this time in the country of Wales, for some reason, you know, there was this great revival that happened, and so many people got saved. And actually, we heard that entire cities and pubs got shut down because nobody was going to the pubs anymore because everyone got saved, you know. this happened, you know. You know, you can say that this, in a sense, is a revival, you know. But I think I want to impress you that actually today we're not here to expect a great revival. When we go to our college campuses, we don't want to have the mindset of I want to go out and save everyone I talk to. You know, we bear fruit in a normal way. You know, we take the pattern of our Lord Jesus as our example. I really appreciate what Paul's word. You know, aren't you so impressed with the Lord's living? You know, he went out of his way to walk 40 miles, you know, through Samaria to talk to one person, to gain one person, you know. The entire trip actually must have taken a few days, several days. I don't know. But I don't think you can walk 40 miles in a day.
Stations, they would walk for then have a day's walk, mm-hmm. then a station where they stay overnight, then another day's walk in another station.
That's amazing, right? Station to station, the Lord Jesus went through to meet one person, to gain one person. Okay, how about we read A together?
If Christians will have a normal living of the gospel, it will be sufficient for each one to bring only one person to the Lord each year.
Okay. It will be sufficient for each one to bring only one person to the Lord each year. Okay? We should expect this, okay? As our life, as being Christians, as college students, it's normal to expect just one a year, just one a year. You know, it's, you know, if a couple who gets married, you know, eventually you would expect children, right? You expect them to have children, and it's normal. But if a married couple, if after 50 years there are no children, then you realize that something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something is off. You know, that's not normal. The same with our Christian life. Actually, it should be normal for us to gain one person a year. One person a year. Okay. Actually, I want to just give you a short testimony. Earlier this week, during one of the rec times, I went to go get some coffee and went to a coffee shop, and actually Jason was there. I saw Jason there, and I saw Jason, so I said hi, greeted Jason and his family, and just talked for a second. I went up to the counter to order my drink, and actually the barista who was taking my order, he actually looked at me, and then he actually pointed to Jason and said, "Hey, who is that guy? Is he a pastor or something?" Actually, because Jason, I think you were wearing a tie or something like that. But he was wondering, you know, is he a pastor? And he was interested for some reason in you. So I just told him, no, we're just Christians, you know, and we love the Lord. Because he realized that you come into the coffee shop quite often. So he took notice of you. Anyway, the point is, you know, After that, I just said, oh yeah, he's here a lot, and you know, he likes coffee. You know, I like coffee, and I just moved back here. Actually, I used to live in California, and I just moved back. So actually, I'll be around a lot too. I like this coffee shop a lot. So I look forward to seeing you. And I introduced myself. I'm Dan, and his name is Kent. You know, and that was it. Okay, that was it.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't preach the gospel to him or anything like that. Okay, I didn't have any feeling within of like, you need to be saved, you know? You asked if he was a pastor, so you must be open to something, right? But actually, the feeling with him was just, I'll be back here, you know? I like coffee. I like talking to people. I'll be back here. It was nice meeting you, Kent. That was it, you know? And I have full faith that something got in, you know, because there was an opening, right? And I look forward to meeting Kent again at that coffee shop. Hopefully a door can open for the gospel. You know, this is normal, you know. We're just abiding in the Lord, you know. You know, getting coffee, but at the same time enjoying the Lord. And through that, the Lord brings people to us. This is very normal. Okay. Okay, let's read point B together. The Lord's daily living was his gospel preaching, because
he was living in this way. God sent the right people to him, and he brought people to God.
Okay, I love this point, because I'm just so impressed with the Lord's daily living. Okay, he had this daily, okay, in you can see, if you read through the Gospels, I hope maybe after this training, read through the Gospels again with this view. Just pay attention to the Lord's living. You know, if you go to, for example, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, you know, he goes to the wilderness to get tempted, to get tempted by the devil. And all of his questionings, all of his accusations that the devil gives to the Lord, do you know what the Lord's response was in all of these? It is written, okay? He was actually quoting the Bible, you know? Actually, all three cases in that case, he was quoting the book of Deuteronomy. So you can actually see from that the Lord, he was musing on the Word. The Word was in him. And because the Word was in him, he had a response to the devil every single time. You know, so I enjoyed that message earlier this week on musing on the Word. This was the Lord's life. He lived a life. He was in the Word. Another example is, you know, just in Matthew 11, actually, this is really interesting. At that point, the Lord had been rejected by so many of the Jewish religionists. And the Jewish religions, they rejected John the Baptist. He was put into prison. And then there's a passage in Matthew 11 where actually the Lord, he's actually rebuking, and he's lamenting and reproaching this unrepentant generation. Okay, so he's like, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. You know, and he's rebuking the cities because they had not believed in the Lord. But then right after that, this is really interesting, okay? Okay, pay attention, okay? Right after that, verse 25 says, And at that time, Jesus answered and said to the Father. Yeah. Okay? That's really interesting, right? In that, the Father never asked him anything. But it says, at that time, Jesus answered.
Amen.
Okay? This is an indication, this implies that the Lord was in fellowship with the Father all the time. You know? Even while rebuking the cities, rebuking this unrepentant generation, the Lord was fellowshipping with the Father. And while he was rebuking, the Father must have told him something or asked him something. So the life study says something along the lines of, like, are you happy about this? You know, do you feel good about this right now? And then at that moment, the Lord just stopped. Jesus answered and said, I extol you, Father. You know, extol means to praise. I laud you, Father. You know, the Lord just conceded to the Father's will of what had just happened. This was the Lord's life. I hope you're impressed a little bit more now about the Lord's living. He lived the life of the gospel by musing on the Word, by living with the Father, by being in fellowship with the Father. This was his life, and through that, he was able to have a life of the gospel. And he was able to touch people and gain people. Okay, point C. All together, go ahead.
If we all
this way. God will send his chosen ones to us. Then every year we will reap fruit.
Okay, we have a pop-up here. Can we have Daniel and Michael come up? They're going to speak about just this normal living.
In the first week of the Church in Chicago internship, right, I was playing a game with Michael on the computer, and after it finished, he actually asked me, "So, what are you doing this summer?" Right? And I think that was the Lord's first chance. He gave me the first chance to actually gain a fruit. But, you know, I was in the self. You know, I denied my spirit. And I was like, oh, I'm just doing this church internship thing. It's like, you know, I don't really want to tell him about it. And then, but you know, hallelujah. He gave me another chance. He said, but what do you do there, right? Like, what is a church internship thing? Like, you know, like, I don't know what that means. So, you know, I was still in the internship, right? I still enjoyed something. So I actually shared a little with him, you know, what we do. You know, we go 3 times a week to preach the gospel in the campus, you know, even if I'm not very good at it, right? You know, we read the ministry books, and we go to all these, like, home meetings and Lord's Table meetings and stuff. And, you know, he actually said to me, he was like, well, that sounds cool. You know, can I come? And I was like, so taken aback. I was like, can you say that again? Like, wait, what? And then he's like, you know, that sounds cool. I want to come. But he actually said after that he could only come if his interview at Burger King didn't work out. And I was thinking, like, really? Like, Burger King? You know, this is the Lord, right? Like, Burger King, you could buy that for like $5, you know, you don't need that. So, you know, but hallelujah, because he actually missed the interview at Burger King, you know. I believe it's the Lord's will, you know, amen, right? He missed the interview at Burger King, and he actually came to try out the internship for a few days, and I don't know if he liked it, but, I mean, he's here now, right? And it's amazing because he went through, like, pretty much all of the internship. He went through half of the video training. He's going through college training, amen. And he will be at the Summer School of Truth, and he'll be going to the Champaign camping trip, right?
Jesus.
And it's really amazing how this all started out with just a normal Christian living, right? And I still can't believe it was through me, like, but it wasn't all through me though, right? Because it was through a body shepherding. Like, there were a couple of days in the internship where I had to miss because of a couple of problems, and I was worried. You know, I was worried for Michael. I'm like, okay, what do I do because I won't be there. You know, and I just fellowship with some of the older brothers, right? And even, like, our, like, fellow college age, like, saints, to, like, older saints, to, like, the elders, they all came and helped shepherd Michael into this church life, right? So, hallelujah for the body and the building up of the body. Amen. Through the normal Christian living.
Amen. Yeah, I'm Michael, gonna be incoming freshman. I don't know, Dan, did you introduce me? Yeah. Yeah, so when I first came to the internship, like, I was not very used to it. Like, I came from 2 Presbyterian churches, so I was very, like, very, you know, structured and stuff like that. So when I came in, I was a little confused, like, why is there so many different races? That was my initial thought, because I always go to just all Korean churches, and all I see is Korean people. And so, like, obviously we try to bring in different people, but ultimately, like, it doesn't work out. Like, obviously it's our goal to bring in more people, but, you know, it just somehow doesn't work out. So when I came to this church, like, it was amazing. Like, yeah, I was like so surprised because just like traditional churches, it's just like you get a pastor and then you get a choir and then everybody else is below. They're not, you know, they're not on the same place because the pastor, he's all the way up here. He's on a podium.
Right.
So all the choir, they're wearing special outfits, and we're just like wearing rags or something. So yeah, obviously not like that, but like I compared my experience with denomination churches to like I compared it to this water bottle. Like, so you know how sometimes kids like to just poke a hole on the top and it's like they use it as a squeeze bottle? That's how I saw traditional churches. It's like you only get a little bit when you squeeze it, and you can't receive the life that's in there. Wow. You can't receive the water. Wow. So, but like, if you think about this kind of church, the ministry works and everything, it's like a machete. You like cut down, and it's like everything, the water just pours out, and just like you're just filled with all of the water. And so, yeah. Also, like, something else that I really enjoy, or actually initially I didn't enjoy this part of the internship. It was probably my least favorite, the going to UIC and preaching the gospel. Like, I'm kind of shy, and I don't like to approach people, and I always thought, like, oh, I might see some people from my high school, and it'll be awkward if I see them. And then I actually saw some kid that I knew from my high school, and I was like, what's up? yeah, hopefully he'll be joining the club at UIC.
Amen.
But yeah, like, I didn't enjoy it at all. Like, I enjoyed, you know, going to the other members' houses for dinner and then bubble tea after. Yeah. And so those were my most important part. And then, like, also the singing was amazing. But through this training, I actually am really excited to go preach the gospel later today. Like, it's like, it's going to be, I feel like an urge to do it.
Wow.
Like, and yeah, it's, I'm not trying to treat it like, you know, where they preached it to like 2 billion people. Like, that's how my old church kind of described preaching the gospel. They would say like, oh, we need to evangelize to the world. And, you know, it wasn't very normal. I feel like I can make this normal if we just take it one person at a time.
Yeah.
And
amen.
We truly like truly value each member. Amen. Not as just like a number in the church, but
amen,
as a person being saved.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, Michael, he just met Daniel. This was just maybe 2 months ago, and now Michael's here. This is amazing. And Daniel, he didn't do anything. They were playing games. But he was enjoying the Lord. He was enjoying the Lord during the internship, and something flowed out.
Amen.
And now Michael's here. So, okay, let's read point D together. If we have... brought to the Lord and into the church life. This is a proper preaching of the gospel. Maybe you can circle day by day and circle one by one. Okay, this is normal. Okay, it's about our daily living. You know, we're not interested in stirring up a revival to save a lot of people. We're concerned about day by day, one by one.
Yeah.
Take care of today.
Amen.
Take care of today's needs. Okay, point E, all together. Okay, how about sisters, point F?
We will have much to minister to the saints and much with which to function. This will enrich and uplift our meetings, and it will make us living and joyful.
Amen. This will make us living and joyful.
Amen.
John 15:11, I love this verse.
Amen.
These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full.
Amen.
Okay, when we have this normal living of the gospel, you know, when we just abide in the vine, When we just love the Lord, be with the saints, be in the church life, His joy will be in us. Our joy will be made full. You know, it's such a joy whenever we gain people, you know. You know, when we enjoy the Lord and out of it, the Lord can gain some and bear some fruit. This is the greatest joy on earth. So I think with that, we can have, let's read point G, then we'll have our last pop-up, okay? To bear
fruit in this way is the normal living of the church life.
We must all be built up in the living of the gospel. Yeah, I mean, just one quick story. You know, earlier this week on Tuesday, our group went gospel preaching, and it was amazing. The brothers, they all went out and they preached the gospel, and they came back. And Paul and I, we came to our 4 o'clock small group time, and we were wondering how it went. And these brothers, they were beaming. Their faces were shining, but everything they said was, "We got rejected 3 times. You know? We have no contact information." But what happened? They were full of joy, right, Thomas? You're full of joy because you flowed out. You're enjoying the Lord. This life was ministered to other people. Seeds were sown, okay? So this is amazing, okay? All right, one last part, Christian Wilkes. He's going to share his testimony of how he himself was shepherded into the church life.
So yeah, I'm Christian. I'll be a senior here at UIUC in the fall. I met the saints during orientation before my freshman year. I was a believer before, but I wasn't in the church life. And I saw this table outside the bookstore during orientation. It said Christians on Campus on it. And I was like, oh, this seems like a good way to make friends. You know, people who believe the same things as I do, they're probably good people. So I went up to the table and I met Dan, actually. Gave him my contact information. And we kind of talked over the summer a little bit, and then come the fall, I started going to the Bible studies, and I had appointments with Dan even on Fridays. But it just became very clear to me very quickly how much the college students cared for each other, and also even how much he brought some serving ones sometimes to the appointments, and even how much the serving ones cared. Actually, one time I remember them taking me to a home meeting at Brother Ken and Sister Laura's house, and it was just so great. You know, got to eat homemade food, and you guys know how that is. You know, I had the dorm food here, but yeah, and just like seeing, you know, like we didn't, you know, it's not like they invited us over because we helped them move or something, you know, something like that. You know, they just invited us over because they wanted us there. You know, they wanted to be with us. So it's just really cherishing, you know, to see. I just think, you know, they really cared for everyone. And let's see here. So yeah, even, you know, there's just so many stories I could share. There was one time where I was sick on a Friday. You know, I had a fever the whole day. I had a migraine even. And they asked me, you know, hey, do you want to go to the home meeting? I was like, no, I'm not feeling well today. And they're like, oh, okay, you know, no problem. And at 9 o'clock, they actually gave me a call. And they're like, hey, you know, want to bring you some food from the home meeting. And which dorm are you in? You know, what room are you in? And they came up and just, you know, talked for a little bit and gave me the food. So there were just so many instances of cherish, you know, even just, you know, inviting me to, you know, go grocery shopping with them or whatever. Dan was my main contact that whole year. And even after that year, you know, after he graduated, the other saints, you know, they got my phone number and they started texting me, you know, hey, you want to go to a movie? You want to go get dinner? And, you know, I remember one instance where they invited me to dinner. I'm like, oh, hey, there's a meeting after, you know, we can take you home if you want, or you can go to this meeting. And I was like, oh, you know, they kind of trapped me there. So I went to the meeting afterwards, and even the next day I went to dinner with them. And they're like, oh, hey, there's another meeting. And, you know, I'm like, how many meetings do you guys have a week? I went to church on Sunday. I had my went to Bible study on Wednesday. You know, I filled my quota for the week. I might have started going to the meetings with them, mostly because I just enjoyed being with the brothers. You know, not even that I enjoyed the meetings at that time, but really I just enjoyed being with the brothers. And eventually I did start to enjoy the meetings. And you know, they just really shepherded me, brought me into the church life. But yeah, I think there's just a few points we can get from this. First of all, it took a lot of the saints. It wasn't just Dan. You know, Dan did a really good job of shepherding. But, you know, it took a lot, you know, all the college students, you know, working saints, the full-timers. It took everyone. And, you know, I was already a believer. like I said, they spent all this time. Yeah. It took like a year and a half before I started regularly attending meetings. So it's just, precious to see how much time they spent. And also it was just through the normal living. They weren't just inviting me to the meetings. I probably wouldn't be here right now if they were. But they were inviting me to dinners, and movies, and just to come over and hang out or study or whatever. So amen. Yeah, that's my testimony, I guess. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Again, the theme here is just, it was normal, right? We weren't just inviting Christian just to meetings every week and asking him to, speak on what he enjoyed from John chapter 15, It's just normal. Let's go get boba, Let's play volleyball, Let's go watch something, Let's just hang out. It was through that, the cherishing and nourishing, through a normal living, firstly, just enjoying the Lord through that. Christian is here. It's amazing. Okay, how about we read the focus together? I'll be wrapping up very soon. Okay, we need
to bear fruit by the learning of the Lord Jesus, to live the life of the gospel, being ready in season and out of season to preach the gospel in a spontaneous way to those who we meet in our daily life.
And I just want to just share a little bit about my burden here, okay? Just share a little bit of my experience. I just graduated from the full-time training in Anaheim just 2 weeks ago. And now I'll be serving full-time on the campus here in Champaign. And, the brothers asked me to speak a message here at the college training. Next week I'll be going up to Chicago for the Summer School of Truth and prepare a bunch of messages there as well. And I'm just like, I feel like I can't do this, I kind of felt like, I feel so unqualified, to be here. But I start to get worried, how am I going to be a serving one? How do I take care of these students? I don't know how to give a message, I was just reading the word, and this word just really spoke to me, In the end of John 15:5, it just says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So for us, you might be discouraged. Maybe you're going to enter your senior year and you've not borne fruit yet. Maybe you're an incoming freshman and you have no idea and no interest at all in people outside of the church life. The point here is we need to be those who are normal. Normal branches abiding in the vine. And realize that apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. That this life that we saw, the Lord's living, this pattern that we have before us, actually, do you believe in the Word of God?
Amen.
The Word of God says that this one is in you.
Amen.
He lives in you.
Amen.
The one who reached out to the Samaritan woman lives in you.
Amen.
The one who spoke to the adulterous woman lives in you.
Amen.
The one who, mused on the Word of God.
Amen.
Fellowship with the Father, He lives in you.
Amen.
You can do it.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged.
Amen.
Just live this normal life.
Amen.
Just pray to the Lord, make me normal.
Amen.